We can't wait. We've had perfect preparation. We feel like we're perfectly positioned to cause a bit of an upset.
Mate, I'm comfortable with the situation. I just need a bit of time with my family at the moment. I think 3 months is a long time to be hanging out together.
No, we're not naive to think that people aren't frustrated about it.
I've started to second guess whether footy is my sole future after I finish playing.
You don't want to keep having to miss the finals to make you make the finals the next year.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one and welcome all to the Inner Sanctum on a Thursday morning. And it is great to see Dylan Sheil in the studio. It's not great to see him in the state he's in, but it's always nice to catch up with him. Dylan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you feeling?
Physically, I've been better, as you said. But mentally, yeah, feeling good. Feeling like I've had a couple of weeks off now and ready to get back into the club and get stuck into my rehab.
So you're at peace with the situation? You've come to terms with the situation? You're going to be out of footy for a while?
I mean, I think I've been, was at peace with it when I hurt myself. I mean, it happened, and injuries are a part of the game. And once they happen, you can't go back in time and prevent them. So
that's very true.
I've had my fair share of surgeries and, you know, injuries in my career. So I've been through this before, and I'll get through it and I'll be back. So it's not the end of the world.
I was keen to ask you that ever since it happened, because knowing you through the last couple of years like we've done, and the way you look at things and the perspective you have on life and footy and where it all sits, I was interested to get your feedback on what it means for you and the way you deal with it mentally, because some players are so caught up in the bubble that if something like this happened, it derails them significantly and takes them a while to get their head around it. But you've always had a much better balanced outlook, I reckon, on what footy is. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But is there any element of you that's thinking, oh, bloody hell, we're going okay here, and there's a bit to like about what we're doing, and I'm not going to be there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I lose perspective on football and myself in the game quite frequently. I just need to keep checking myself to know what life is and the significance of footy in my life. And it's certainly as high as it's going to be. But, like I said, I've experienced injuries before. We see guys get injured in the game. You guys had Tay Adams in here the other day. And it just, you know, you just need to, it's better if you can just accept it and get back into, you know, what the task in front of you rather than dwelling on it and getting upset and making your girlfriend or your family or your friends around you miserable and kicking the dog at home. It just doesn't help anybody.
Don't do that with a bad knee. You shouldn't be kicking the dog
with
a bad knee.
Don't do that with a bad knee. So in terms of, you know, accepting it, moving on, it makes the rehab, makes the recovery a lot easier, and your relationships around you a lot easier. I've felt, and the feedback I've received.
It's been a little bit like RPA in here with Taylor in here yesterday, now you today, both with crutches. Taylor has spoken before about he has struggled at times when he's had injuries. Really quite badly, and he's needed to seek counsel from within the club to try and deal with or find ways of dealing with it. Does it help that you've had injuries before, that you kind of know what to expect, you know what the sort of the recovery processes are, and you kind of get better at it the more you get injured? I mean, not that you've been, I wouldn't ever describe you as injury prone.
No, but I've had, this would be my 10th surgery. 10th in my 10 years. I've just been really fortunate to have all my operations post-season and haven't missed too much football. This will be the most, you know, amount of football I've missed in one injury. Just the timing of it was really poor for this time round two versus, doing it at the end of the year. Mm. But, yeah, like, I could completely understand when guys are, you know, really suffering mentally and emotionally with a long-term injury. And, because you sort of, when you get caught up in football, you sort of put your worth in how you're feeling physically, and you know you see yourself as, you're measuring yourself by how you perform out in the field, how you're training, how frequently you're able to, you know, get up and play, like I said, for your club, because that's, you know, ultimately what they're employing you to do. So it's just, it can be really challenging, and just to sort of can you be really clear about your, okay, yeah, football is what you do, it's not who you are, but can you still live a life, you got friends and family, there's so much more to be living rather than just physically being fit and performing. So, but like saying, that's really challenging. Fortunately, I've had enough surgery to sort of prepare me for this one that I know I'll be able to get through this and get back. And at the moment, I'm just going to be really patient with the healing process. And, you know, in a few weeks' time, I'll be able to walk and, a few more weeks' time, I'll be able to run, and then I'll be back, and it'll be like I was never gone.
We'll get you sort of your timelines from you shortly, and again, using Taylor as a bit of a reference, and you obviously were former teammates. One of the things that you do really well at Essendon is you lead by example with the way you prepare, the way you train, that elite standard. Is that, particularly with the pre-season you guys had, because I think Essendon has probably trained harder in the pre-season than maybe they've ever had, or at least in this sort of generation of players. Is that harder as well to sort of, you want to keep that momentum going with all that hard work that's been done over the summer, new coach, new game plan, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, once you sort of got a bit of momentum, or you feel like, you know, at the club we feel like we're on a good thing at the moment, and it's not converting to wins yet, but hopefully it does. But you certainly want to keep that going, that feeling going. Once you sort of get a bit of reward, you know, with the way you're going about it, you just want to keep going. You want to keep going again. And, you know, with Taylor was, you know, been in some really good form. He had to come off an All-Australian year last year and started the year off pretty well individually, so it'd be challenging to, you know, have that sort of, you know, interrupted. That can be almost harder. Whereas, you know, myself, it wasn't like I was in great form, so it was like, okay, I could easily accept an injury and I could regroup and get back at the end of the year with the fellas. But, you know, it's when you get to watch your team go on and play some really good footy, it can be really challenging because you're like, oh, you sort of feel like you're missing out.
Yeah.
But like I said, you just have to accept and be patient. And, you know, what's the best thing for you to do at that time? And it's not to dwell and get upset and wish you were out there with the guys. It's, okay, I need to do with the task in front of me. I need to recover, get better, still eat well, get ready to train well, be a good person to those around me, and get back as soon as you can.
So take us through the timeline, because you've got an interesting injury in the sense that initially it was going to be sort of that 6 to 8 range, and then you kind of had a decision to make, I think, whether you get it fixed properly or get it sort of 3/4 fixed and get back earlier. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, so the people who report it might have just jumped the gun a bit. They wanted to release something a bit earlier than when we knew the answers and the details of what was required in terms of the surgery. So when you do a meniscus, and I've had this my third operation on a meniscus now, so I'm pretty knowledgeable in this. I'd like to think
Dr. Julian Fellow type. Yes.
That's actually Professor.
Professor.
Professor Fellow, please.
I have called him Doctor, and his actual title is a Professor.
And they get upset about that. Don't be calling him the wrong title, mate.
Put 20 years of study into getting the title, you would be. No, he did a really good job for me, Julian. But so yeah, you can repair a meniscus, and that's you know, sort of trimming out the tear or the damage or the fragments of, you know, the wear and tear of a meniscus. That can happen in a single incident, or it can happen over course of time. And you know, that's, you know, it's a really, you know, relatively quick return. I said that 6 to 8 week mark, it's you know, can sort of get the surgery done, get back, be running soon, and up and going. But for me, because I was going to lose a significant chunk of my meniscus if I was to do that, we thought it'd be best to repair the meniscus and save as much as possible, which requires a, you know, a longer return, which is what I'm in at the moment. So we're looking at about, you know, that 16 week mark for me to be back to playing.
So if you lose the meniscus, just for those playing at home, or a good chunk of it, it creates problems down the track with the wearing of the bone on the bone. Is that what happens, and that's why you wouldn't do that?
Yeah, so it's like sort of the cushioning between, you know, in your knee for your bone. So if you sort of have not much of that or none of it, then yeah, you're sort of exposing the bone to, you know, arthritis and that later on down the track. And yeah, I mean, probably in the short term it wouldn't affect me, but long term it could. So yeah, I mean, we're just looking at the longevity of my knee and my health, and we're really negotiating 8 to 10 weeks of footy, not 16 weeks. So I was going to be out for, you know,
8 anyway.
Yeah, around that anyway. Yep. So
that makes sense.
It's back for finals. Yeah. You know,
back for the finals. That's right.
Yeah, back for finals.
Problems are charging late. Can't see that being a problem. Yeah. You're also a man that likes to think a little bit laterally when it comes to preparation and lifestyle choices. Have you got? You used to jump in the freezer chest and do your thing with the.
I still do.
The Wim Hof. You still doing that? Yeah, good.
Yeah, I've had to have a bit of a break since, you know, during the surgery, but yeah, I still do that.
Have you looked into any alternate ways to recover and from this surgery?
Yeah, of course. where do I begin?
Well, at the start.
At the start.
I'm really keen to find out.
There's so many. There's so many. I mean, it's been a while since you asked me this question, so I actually don't know where to start, where I left off when we were talking about it last. But at the moment, I mean, I've had a good break from, the professional life of a football. I've just literally been doing nothing for 2 to 3 weeks recovering. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to just sort of getting back into the water, getting back moving for my knee and for the health of my knee. I just joined the Brighton Seabars at the moment. So I'm looking forward to getting down there in the mornings and getting in for a dip in the winter months of Melbourne and into the steam room. So enjoy that part of my recovery and the performance side of things. And just looking into like sort of tools or equipment that can help with the recovery focus of, you know, the rehab process of the knee. So there's a few sort of tools out there that I can use that can help, you know, build up the hypertrophy of the, you know, the knee muscles and, you know, the quads and hamstrings and calves, because, you know, it's sort of wasted away pretty quickly in the last 2 weeks. So
that'd be annoying.
It's going to be, so that's a big part of my rehab, is building up the muscle strength and size around the knee. So there's a few things out there that I can use to help get back that are quite legal.
That's important.
Quite legal.
That's very important. There's no rubbing camel humps on your knee or anything?
None of that. More, electronic muscle stimulation.
Oh, the EMS?
EMS. So, yeah,
this is a real sort of Daniel recovery lab.
You need to jump in the recovery lab. Just jump at 4 White Street in Windsor. that's where you need to be just to get your recovery sorted. Okay. We've got all that stuff, the EMS and the ice and the things. Yep. You love it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Right, good plug for the recovery lab too. Well played, Whitey.
All right, take a break. Come back. Let's talk Essendon.
We're not breaking.
I haven't been at the club, so there's not much I can really share about.
Well, that's even better.
Haven't you not been at the club?
Well, there's not much I can do. I mean, I can't sweat. I can't, you know, in terms of the wound, I can't sweat. I can't get in the pool. I can't do all these, I can hardly move. I've been in a splint for 2 weeks, so I can't be doing too much footy either. So it's the best thing was for me just to keep off it. But I'll be in there today and getting into it.
So let's go there about what you've seen in the last 2 weeks, because
you haven't been there. It's perfect.
It was, yeah, that's right. Well, you've been watching like us on the television.
Like us.
But I mean, it was just a nightmare day against Port. You know, the poor start, 3 key players get injured. Questions already been asked about Ben Rutten and the direction of the club and all these sorts of things. And then in the space of 2 weeks, you have the most extraordinary performance or extraordinary turnaround against St Kilda, and then backing up with a good performance against Sydney, albeit not a win. Were you surprised at how the last 2 weeks unfolded?
I mean, it's pretty rare to go from 1 week like that, Port Adelaide, to next week against St Kilda. And St Kilda didn't have the best day either, but it's pretty rare to see a club have a turnaround that significant. And then even better that we could back up with that type of effort against, you know, a team that's having a really good season at the moment in the Swans. I mean, it's not like a surprise that we're capable of it, that it didn't just happen over a meeting after Port Adelaide or one training session. It's been a build-up of, you know, a few seasons, a few pre-seasons, and, you know, changing a few things, you know, the culture of the club, the training standards, and having, you know, drafting really well. It's an accumulation of factors that have helped get to the club to where we are today. I mean, not like we're a finished product, but it's great that guys at the club and footy club are starting to see that it's working, what we're working towards, you know. And it's like not doesn't guarantee any success, but it's just good to see that, you know, a lot of training and effort and focus into improving our performance. It's you know, it was good to see that in the last 2 weeks, and even more importantly that we keep building on that, that it doesn't just go okay, that we haven't earned the respect of the competition through one win and competitive game. We actually need to do this over a seasons, and then we have the respect of the competition.
So getting the respect of the competition, a lot of that comes down to a team that's prepared to show resilience. It's one thing to be able to play really exciting footy. It's another thing that when things don't go well, that you can actually respond from that. So how important was that after the Port Adelaide loss, to be able to fight back, but then against Sydney a few times kind of get behind and then be able to push back? Does that give you as a leader of the footy club more confidence than an exciting brand of footy where you kick 8 goals in a quarter?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you remember, you walk off the ground on those games like almost like more satisfied, even though we lost against Sydney. You almost feel more satisfied as opposed to the St Kilda game where, you know, it was a quite a significant win. Because the Swans really challenged the club, and we were challenged to be our absolute best. And our best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring, because it's the best we can do. Mm. And if that gets us the win or not, then, you know, that's not completely in our control. But it should give confidence to, you know, the core group, or, you know, guys that are early in their careers, and we've got a lot of guys that are early in their careers, that they can stay in the game for four quarters against quality opposition. You know, and you can take confidence from that going into, you know, games in the future, that even when you might be, you know, a few goals down or things aren't going away individually in a game, you can get back into the game. It doesn't, you know, your first quarter, your first 10, 15 minutes doesn't determine the outcome of the game. You can get back into it. And that's the biggest challenge in sport, is teams that can hang in there longer, usually the best teams.
Mm.
You see Richmond, you know, they're doing it not just in season, they do it in the biggest games of the year. They sit, you know, down at halftime in the grand final, down in at halftime in the prelims, and they're able to just stick to the process. They've got confidence they can get back into the game, and, you know, like I said, the teams that are hanging there the longest are the ones that usually win.
So what you've been watching in the last couple of weeks and seeing on the screen like us, are you seeing the things that Ben and the coaching staff are trying to implement? Is there growth in the game? Not so much the result, but the game style and what he wants to achieve?
Yeah, I think the game style is growing. It's getting there. You know, we've still got a long way to go. But, I mean, the thing that I've enjoyed the most is just more the character of the group.
Yep.
And which, you know, that takes time to build. The game plan, you know, every team has a game plan, I'd hope.
You would hope.
But it's more the effort and energy, you know, the real character sort of traits that, you know, elevate teams. And, you know, that's, you know, we've mentioned we want to be a blue-collar outfit. And, you know, what we displayed last week is on the right track, you know, to being consistent with that label.
I was fascinated to see the vision and the audio of Dyson Heppel talking to the players after the game against the Swans. And I saw it after the game when it was played live, and saw the vision and thought, oh, that's a fascinating conversation. I wonder which way he's going. Is it a bit of a cook because we were close and we could have won that one? Or was it a bit of a pump up because we're getting there and it's some great growth? The club released that audio through the week, and part of me didn't want to watch it and listen to it because I wanted, you know, that's a sort of inner sanctum stuff that sometimes we don't need to see, but certainly it's a great insight. And he went with the approach of, you know, we're going great. You know, we missed our opportunities today and we had some moments we didn't nail, but where we've come from, where we're going, it's magnificent. He pointed out different players through the room as they were sitting along the wall. And I thought that is an unbelievable show of leadership and strength in the direction of the footy club. And to have someone like Dyson stand up and do that after a really tough loss, I thought showed a fair bit about what the energy and what the atmosphere has created at Essendon at the moment. Is that a fair reflection on the whole philosophy of Ben Rutten and where you're going and the conversations that are happening at Essendon?
I
liked it.
Yeah, really good question. Might add. Long question.
It was a long one. It depends on the picture.
My mind might have trailed off elsewhere. No, but
paint the picture sometimes.
I watched that as well, like everyone else. So I wasn't there. I haven't been at the club, and I actually haven't spoken to Dice about it. But it looked good. I felt like it was a really good insight for the public to see. Mm. You know, what happens, you know, at its rawest moments at a footy club, and it's usually after a game like that where you sort of get to see what it's really like. And I thought Dice, you know, spoke really well. I think the really good thing about Dice is that he understands his audience, and you're probably not having that conversation if you're a Geelong or a Richmond, or really, you know, one of those more senior teams that have been there, done it. They don't need to have that conversation because the players as a group know. We're a young team. We probably, like to make a fair assessment, we probably don't know as a group. So it's good for, like, a guy who's, you know, been in the game for a decade. He's a captain. He's played. He knows the game to be able to, you know, pick out guys individually and give them some really good encouragement, and just to make aware to the group that, you know, that even though we lost, which as a young player you just can sort of get hung up on whether you win or you lose, not how you did it, but to, you know, really talk about how we went about that game, and that was a really good sign. So, you know, that you sort of get, you know, I think Ross Lyon used to say you'd rather go forward in a loss than backwards in a win.
Yep.
Well, no, if he said it was the...
You said it once.
The founder of that quote, but he said it once. But I know at Fremantle, he was or St Kilda as well, he was really big on that. So that's the approach we need to take after the weekend, was that we took a really good step forward. And I hope that the Essendon fans and members can sort of see that as well, that, yeah, we didn't get the win, but it was a good step. And but more importantly, if we don't give that same effort and intent again this weekend... Then that week, that game against the Swans, you know, counts for nothing.
Yeah.
So we need to keep backing it up.
Do you think that Dyson has elevated himself with his captaincy since Ben took over? That I don't know, but maybe Ben's put more demands on Dyson. He just seems that he's a bit stronger as a leader.
You know, I actually feel like Dyson is doing less, which is great. Okay. Because yeah, he can be more of a leader. You know, he's a guy that naturally wants to do. You know, take responsibility and do as much as he can, because he's just that type of guy. He wants to help and do as much as he can. I think Ben's been really good at sort of reducing his load and just enabling him to, you know, play footy. Because ultimately we need Dice playing more and playing the best footy he can. That'll make him a better leader for us. Yeah. So, and you know, the what he does, how he talks to the group, that's not forced. That just comes naturally. It's not, that's something he doesn't have to worry about. So what we saw after the Swans game, that wasn't something that he's, you know, actively trying to seek those opportunities to do. It just happened. So, yeah, I feel like it's a reduced load for Dice, and, you know, helping him be a good leader. He's been a good leader for a while.
The boys come up against Joe on Saturday night. It's a game a lot of people are looking forward to, just for all the theatre of it all, etc. Do you think it'll be a theme during the week, or do you think they'll stay right away from it? How do you think the boys will go?
No, it's not going to be a theme. Acknowledge that, yeah, he was a great player for Essendon, and he's really good friends with a lot of the guys. But the game's going to be worth the same amount of points as every other game. He is... going to be another Brisbane Lions player like the rest of that team. But yeah, like before and after the game, there's still can have be human beings and still chat to him and catch up to him and see how he's going, which I'm sure the guys will. But, you know, Ben's not that type of guy who's going to want to target a certain player just because he was a past player of a club. The boys are going to be going up there to get the win and to play good footy. It's not going to be distracted by one player, even though he's a very, very good player, and I hope he doesn't play too well, because he could be a significant part of the game. So
he could.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing the battle though that our defenders have with him.
It's another 200 centimetre player that's now wearing red and black. That's intriguing me. I think most of the footy world's intrigued by Nick Cox, this big fella that does awesome things up the ground, not just as a key position player. We were all catching on. Did you see this pretty early? The potential of this young man.
Oh, well, it was a shortened, shortened pre-season. He actually was late to the pre-season. He was sick. And then he came a week later than the rest of the draftees, and first day back, won the 2K time trial and just sort of shook it off like it was another day at the office for him, and then proceeded to go on taking contested marks at both ends of the ground in our inter-club matches. And I was like, wow, this guy looks like he could be pretty good. Yeah, like obviously really unique sort of athlete in the game, and everyone's obviously very excited by what we've seen so far. The potential is huge for where it can get to, and, you know, just his versatility for Ben to be able to use him at, you know, all around the ground is you know, it's going to be a big weapon going forward.
You would think so, yeah.
We probably just need to settle down on what we say about young Nick at the moment.
Well, you can, but we can't.
Well,
we get excited.
Well, I'm you at the moment as well. You know? he's only 4 games in. We might need to pull it back a bit, because there's a long way to go. Yeah, no doubt. We just don't want the opposition catching on.
I reckon they might know a bit.
Hey, I'm going to throw one before we let you go a little bit from left field, and I just jog my memory just watching something on the television around the bump, because you were involved in a very controversial incident a few years ago with Mr. Cochin in a prelim.
Oh, yes.
And have you got a different perspective of concussion and the bump because of what you went through in such a big game?
This is a really hard question to answer as a player, I feel like, because everyone's very cautious about what they say.
But it's more general.
But in terms of the concussion, I'm more aware of the significance of, trauma to the brain and the long-term effects. Absolutely. In terms of, we want to talk more about the concussion or the bump aspect?
Well, I think probably more the bump aspect because of what concussion is now. Maybe even how much it's moved the conversation since you were involved in the incident that took you out of the game. I'm just interested in your perspective of whether it's changed because of that particular incident and now what happens now, what you think you can do on the field that you couldn't do. Do you change the way you play? I mean, it was only last year you got suspended for a bump, which was, I think you were suspended, were you?
Yeah.
Which could have gone either way because it was a question of whether you were contesting the ball or whether you were choosing to bump. Has it all just changed or are you confused?
I feel like we've just got increased awareness around, how damaging a blow to the head can be. And, I think it's for the better because it's for the health and for the well-being of athletes. We don't want people suffering, into the latter years of their life for something that we may have been able to prevent while they were playing. So I think we're moving forward and in the right direction. And naturally, human evolution is that we're going to be trying to take step forward in technology and medical science and applying that to anywhere we can. So I think it's for the better that we're discovering these things about concussion, and the challenge is how are we policing that when it comes to a high speed contact game. It's really challenging because it's like, well, are we actually going to be preventing these incidents from happening? Well, they're still going to happen, and they still are. It's just how we go about, policing them and, adjudicating them. So we've seen a bit of confusion around how players are getting judged, whether it's getting off or getting weeks. It's, it happened with Danger and Ben Cunnington recently, and it's going to be hard. It's really confusing. For me, I was concussed, and Trent got off and played in the grand final, and the next, last year I made contact with the player's head and he played out the game, but I got 2 weeks. So it's hard. It's very hard to know where you stand as a player at any incident. They're all different.
Yeah, and there's no doubt there's been a strengthening of the protocols and the judicial outcomes for any hits. So there's anything now you're liable for a suspension, seemingly.
Well, there's two parts to it here. I mean, and Dylan sort of experienced both sides of it. It was that incident last year, which, again, could have gone either way based on other cases. But then the other part of it is that had the Giants won that prelim, as it stands, you wouldn't have been able to play the grand final the next week, even if you felt like you could have.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Well, I've thought about that when it happened a lot, but now I've certainly accepted and moved on because it happened. But it's going to be interesting to see if players get caught out with the concussion rule and get kept out of a significant game. Mm. We've seen Fife miss a game already. Not that it was early in the season, but it'll be interesting to see if a player does miss out due to something like that and how the effect it has on how we look at concussion.
Well, Nick Rewalt was talking about that last night on Fox Footy, which I'm keen to flesh out with Brad Johnson after the break. But great to have you in here, mate. Now, nice to see you up and about, sort of. Good luck with the rehab.
Sort of.
Yeah, well, you're up and about. You're out of bed. You're off the couch. You're up and about on your crutches. But nice to see you. Hopefully we can spend a bit more time with you through the next couple of months and get you through.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Dylan Shield great with chat. Us, the Inner Sanctum of the Bombers. As Whitey said, the Brisbane Lions this week for them. And Joe's the opponent this weekend, not the teammate. And it's certainly got a lot of people talking the build-up to that clash. We'll get to a break. Brad Johnson is going to join us. He's our Thursday night specialist. St Kilda and Richmond, the game we'll focus on, but there's plenty happening in the world of footy.